So we will have an opening dialogue on positioning educational and pedagogical leadership during the times of emergencies with Mark Perkins and Mika Risco. Mark is a student at the University of Uvascular Education Sciences master's degree program, specializing in educational leadership. And prior to this, Mark is a professor of biological science at the Orange Coast College. And he was also, during the time he was the professor there, he was also the lead faculty of part of major biology program, chair of the department multiple times, and lead the campus effort to reimagine the twice annual professional days. Mark is now living in Uvascular with his partner and three cats. And Mika is the head of Institute of Educational Leadership at the University of Uvascular. Mika, would you please tell a bit more about yourself before you start the conversation with Mark? Thank you. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Hai Chin. Yes, I work as the head of the Institute of Educational Leadership at the University of Jyväskylä. Before coming here to work full time 2008, I worked for 15 years as a secondary education principal, and I'm very happy that towards the end of our session, I can also try to reveal something about the practice during the pandemic that Finnish schools and daycare centers have been experiencing. As for our presentation, I will be the general expert here. I can talk about educational and pedagogical leadership, but then when it comes into research of crisis and emergency, Mark is our expert there. And we have four main topics for us. So I first try to say a few words about educational and pedagogical leadership, and then about educational governance and leader responsibility in Finland from the perspective of the pandemic, particularly. And then Mark handles in more detail leadership during crisis and emergency, and then some concluding remarks to frame the whole day. And if we go to the first real topic, the title for our day is pedagogical leadership during times of emergency, and we often talk about pedagogical leadership in Finland too. It is how we lead the well-being, learning, and development of communities and their members. And when we are talking about education, we can say that it's the core of what we do, because the mission of education is to create future through supporting, developing well-being, learning, and development. However, not everything that takes place in educational organizations is working within pedagogical leadership. For example, school buildings have to be built, daycare centers need to have catering services, etc. So, educational leadership is a broader concept and then contains everything we can imagine for the phenomenon of leadership in the field of education. We also believe that educational leadership is something unique because no other field of life has the same mission as education does. We can move on to Finnish educational governance system. Often we give the picture of Finland of being some kind of a paradise, serene and uniform and and stable, and it's far from that, really. You read this figure so that the blue boxes represent central governance, that's the state. The green boxes, local authorities. Then we have labor market organizations and that column, and then the third sector civic organizations to the right. And in addition to this, we also have private daycare centers, independent schools, and municipal consortiums that provide education. So it's not just local authorities that provide education. The idea is that the four lines of governance have the unit, local, regional, national, and also international level. And whoever, in whichever line of governance, on whichever tier of this system, can contact whomever. And that also takes place. Forming alliances, resisting something together, then joining again. So this is very complex. It's very dynamic. As to the pandemic, the government took very strong responsibility at the beginning. Worked together with the Ministry of Social Affairs and its national agency, Finnish Institute for Health and Welfare. For example, comparing with Sweden, the Finnish Institute for Health and Welfare had a strong role providing expert advice and views. But it was the government, and especially the Ministry of Social Affairs and Health, taking the political decisions. In Sweden, for example, it was their Swedish Institute for Health and Welfare. As we've learned more about the pandemic, central governance has been giving more responsibilities and autonomy, especially to state regional authorities and then to local authorities and there to the units. But it's something that has been shifting throughout the pandemic period that we've been having. If we move on to Finnish local educational governance, we can first of all say that local authorities only need to have the municipal council, municipal board, the municipal director, the inspection board, and the election board, and everything else they can decide for themselves. And they have constitutional autonomy how to organize themselves. And if we think about Finnish educational organizations, daycare centers and schools, they do not serve central governance, the state, but local authorities and other education providers. And in fact, legislation does not even obligate teachers and daycare center directors and principals directly, but the education providers who have to determine in their local educational ordinances what kind of rights and responsibilities their staff have. So during the pandemic, it's been the central governance giving instructions, advice, then it has been the regional authorities evaluating that, and then finally local authorities. And based on this, it's how the Finnish daycare centers and schools have been working. The Finnish legislation very explicitly says about daycare center directors and school principals that they bear all the responsibility for what takes place in their daycare center director, in their daycare centers and schools. But as I said earlier, what this means in a particular daycare center, a school, is something that local authorities can determine autonomously themselves. And there's beautiful variety here. I, for example, known a principal who also worked as the janitor of the school. I've also known and know principals who are working as the municipal directors of education in their municipalities, or the ones responsible for fire protection services, you name it, and Finnish principals do also that. And I can tell you more about this then towards the end of our session today. But let's move on to crisis and emergency. And Mark is the expert to tell about that.
Great. Thank you very much, Mika. And so now that we've seen a little bit about educational and pedagogical leadership and looked at the structure of governance here in Finland, I want to talk and help us sort of frame today's discussion by discussing what is and what's known about leadership during crisis and emergency. Crisis leadership is the name of a research field into the phenomenon of leadership during crisis. And when we're looking at crisis leadership, one of the things that we have to figure out first is just what is a crisis? And just like leadership, with actually defining leadership being an exceptionally challenging task, defining what a crisis is also challenging. What we're trying to do here is differentiate a crisis, this sort of major challenge for an organization or an individual, though, of course, today we're just talking about organizations. How to define this, separate this sort of major challenge from just a average everyday problem. And Coombs in 2002, I think, did a very nice job of separating crises from problems and saying for a problem or a challenge to elevate to the level of a crisis, it must pose either significant operational risks or significant reputational risks, or of course, both. And that leads to many definitions of crises, of which we can see one by Ulmer et al. In 2007, looking at a crisis is a specific, unexpected, and non-routine event or series of events that create high levels of uncertainty and threaten, or are perceived to threaten, an organization's high priority goals. So we're talking major challenges for an organization. But when we think about this definition of crisis, we start to realize a lot of things qualify as crises. Now, today we're talking about leadership during emergency, and we're talking about leadership during COVID. And so we're thinking crisis as, you know, pandemic, crisis as maybe wars or violence. We're thinking about crisis is natural disaster, but this definition isn't limited to that. And so when we think about crises overall, crises by that definition can also be things like financial crises, can be personnel challenges, employees disagreeing with each other, maybe that becoming public, ethical challenges, like say the president of a college engaging in unethical behavior, political challenges, a new government coming in and changing the roles, mission challenges. And so what I wanted to do here today to help us discuss this is try to help differentiate between a crisis and an emergency. And so this is my own definition of emergency here that I've built through a couple of techniques. But what we're looking at is what I view as emergency is an emergency can be viewed as a crisis that involves imminent and significant risk to the health and welfare of those involved. And I think this helps us focus our discussions and focus when we think about crisis leadership. I think today, especially, we're looking at leadership, not just during financial challenges or ethical challenges, and in no way to minimize the challenges of leadership during those times. But we're talking about leadership during times where people's lives are literally on the line and people's welfare is literally on the line. And so we're talking about leadership during natural disasters, armed conflict, epidemics, that sort of thing. So what does the research tell us about this, about leadership during crisis? Now, emergency as a sort of leadership term is not really present in the literature. It's really just crisis leadership. And so when you're looking at crisis leadership, you're looking at research into both crises and emergencies. And what we see is a lot of the research is done in the business context. And in that context, a lot of really good work has been done. And I think one of the key things to realize is that when we think about crisis leadership, we often think about leading in crisis during that time of emergency. But it's actually really useful to view crises as having multiple phases. And so while there's certainly the in-crisis phase, there is also a pre-crisis phase. And a pre-crisis phase is your leadership before the problem becomes a crisis. So one of the best ways to lead during crisis is actually never to get into crisis in the first place and to identify problems in the pre-crisis phase and through good leadership prevent those problems from becoming crises. And so you have the pre-crisis phase, which we can certainly identify with COVID. For most Western nations, you're talking about like January, February, and early March of 2020. I would argue we were in the pre-crisis phase. And then in crisis, leading during that crisis. And then post-crisis, have my assistant here to help me today. Luca is her name. And then post-crisis is another important phase of leadership during crisis that is often forgotten. In post-crisis is once the crisis is finished, once the crisis is largely done, how are you leading your organization into the new reality? How are you helping everyone adjust to the new reality that has emerged after the crisis has ended? So that's a key thing for positioning us today. Other things, when you look at business crisis leadership, what I find really fascinating is that a lot of the approaches that business crisis leadership takes share elements with a lot of pedagogical leadership strategies, leadership for learning, for instance, but also especially the Nordic pedagogical leadership schools, where an inquiry approach to crisis response is encouraged. You plan a response, you implement that response, and then you consider, whoops, sorry about that, my assistant thinks I should move along. you have an inquiry response where you plan a response, you implement that response, and then you evaluate how it's going and change the response. Communication is really emphasized. Communication between stakeholders and with the organization, accurate communication, honest communication, inclusive communication, sense-making leadership theory, emotional leadership, all of these things we see in that business context. But of course, we're in an educational context. And as Mika said earlier, educational leadership is a different phenomenon. And so what has educational leadership research shown us? And educational leadership during crisis is much less well studied than business leadership during crisis. Most of the studies focus on K through 12 leadership. Personally, I'm interested in higher education leadership during crisis. Non-emergency crises, things like financial challenges, political challenges, are common in the literature and make up a good chunk of the studies. And then when emergencies are studied, they're almost always acute, meaning short term. Things like school violence, school shooting, for instance, is very, very common. Natural disasters. So leadership during long-term crises, like what we're seeing here, not as well studied at all. But there are some nice frameworks out there. And so what is a framework that we can use to help us sort of view educational leadership during crisis? What are some lenses we can use? And this framework comes from a review done by Streep and Cunningham, published in 2021. And they identified six major themes of educational leadership research. But I think these actually make a fantastic framework for trying to visualize and trying to study and understand educational leadership during crisis. Their six themes start off with providing crisis care. And what this means is that as educational leaders need to focus their leadership during a crisis on the well-being of all members of their community, of their school community. That includes thinking about students, which we've seen a lot during COVID, a lot of discussion on during COVID, but also staff members and also themselves and their leadership team. because leading during emergencies is incredibly taxing. Also, another understanding is that roles and responsibilities will need to be adapted during the crisis. I think many of us are familiar with the idea that leadership is much more than just a title, right? Much more than just a dean. Anyone can be a leader in an organization. And especially during crises, one needs to realize that leadership is going to come from many different sources, and people who may not have been historically in leadership roles may now be taking leadership roles, and that may really help the organization. Collaboration between stakeholders is incredibly important, ensuring that both intra-group collaboration and extra-school group collaboration. Looking at multidimensional communication, and a recent trend on this especially, is looking at inclusive communication, making sure your communication is inclusive of all. Complex decision-making, realizing that your decision-making processes pre-crisis are probably going to need to change. Many crises may require radical decisions that in prior contexts would not have made sense. And then realizing that all of this is contextual, like all leadership research and all pedagogical leadership is contextual, but especially leadership during crisis is going to be highly contextual. So again, I hope that this is a useful frame that can maybe help shape some of our discussions today. So in conclusion, I want to wrap up by saying that generally, educational leadership during crisis is understudied, and school violence, natural disasters, non-emergency crises dominate the research. And in fact, I would argue that educational leadership during emergencies, especially chronic ones like COVID, is woefully understudied. And I think this will help frame our discussion today. So I'd like to leave us today with the question of, how do our lived experiences as leaders around the globe during COVID align with these prior conceptions, prior research on ed crisis leadership, and especially crisis educational leadership? And what lessons can we collectively take from our time as leaders during COVID to help leaders in the next emergency? Because while I'd love to hope that there will be no further emergencies, we all know there will be. And so let's help those next leaders. So thank you very much for your time and attention today. And I'm really looking forward to our discussions here this morning and afternoon. Thank you.